This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 199 for Tuesday, July 19th, 2016. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's radio network.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. I can't believe this is 199.
That's crazy.
I was just typing this in at the end. You do realize that we have this big, big giveaway that we're going to do next week for the 200th episode, right?
I know nothing about it. And there's no reason I know nothing about it.
There is. Next week, we will announce a giveaway for a pilot Stargazer and Ooh, nice. Probably some other stuff. Okay, it will be a write-in. But we will be announcing it next week.
You think you just announced it this week?
I did, but I'm not going to tell you what you have to do until next week because I have to get the information from our marketing people first.
Oh, okay. All right. And neither one of them are in the chat.
I know. What's up with that? It's nice to have you home.
Yes, thank you. For those who didn't know, I guess we should jump right in, huh?
Brian abandoned me for 6 whole days. And that meant Eric and I were completely unsupervised, unchaperoned. It was chaos and drama all week, and we loved it. Just saying.
I came back, and the company was taken over, and I was gone. I left Monday.
We did Monday morning.
Last week, Monday morning. And I did not get back until Sunday, about close to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I drove to the beautiful town of Nashua, New Hampshire, which if you're familiar with that town, that is, of course, the home of Mr. Richard Binder. And I partook in the his Nib Workers Masterclass. He holds usually one session each summer, and this year we had a private session with David and Janet Wright, who were phenomenal, phenomenal people.
They're great friends. They've worked for the PCA when I was a president. They would sometimes run the PCA table. Big pelican collectors, they often work for Rick Propus at some of the bigger shows. And man, do they know their pens. And they're retired school teachers, just super, super nice, friendly people.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. We were, we had a nice, so it was just David and Janet, myself and Richard, and we had very reasonably small card table-ish on his porch, and for 3 solid days, 9 to 5, we talked about Nibs.
Richard cracked the whip.
It was tough, man. I tell you, it was harder than many college classes I think I've ever had, which maybe doesn't say much, but it was tough. It was mentally exhausting, trying to get something just so perfectly right when you're dealing with, you know, thousands of an inch in some cases. But we went through a number of things. First day we examined straightening nibs and different types of bends, so simulating different types of drops, and it was fun to watch Richard take these nibs and just bend them right on the table, and
you dread seeing, you know, let's just drop it and see what happens, and let's just deliberately mangle the heck out of it. Everything you have nightmares about, and then he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah,
I should have seen it.
We started easy with the, you know, relatively easy bend, and then it got a little more complicated. And then the last one was like this monster. It was tines were crossed at different angles. and it was really, really difficult. It actually took, I think that one, I did take it before and after on that. It took about an hour and a half to fix the nip and to get it back into actual writing condition. It was really, really something else. But, you know, the trick was, is trying to fix something, but every time you tried to, if you didn't do the one step correctly, you caused other problems that maybe, you know, you would have done otherwise. So it was a real learning experience on how to make sure to do something correctly, because fixing one problem caused two more problems.
Cool.
Let's see if I can, I'll show you.
It was fun to listen to Brian every night. He would send a text occasionally with a picture, like a before and after, and to hear him at the end of the night, just, you know, 9 o'clock, I'm going to bed, I'm exhausted, and I just need to turn off my brain. Everybody at the store, I'm really proud of you. And yes, in the chat, Mike wanted to know if there were exams and stuff, and kind of you either pass or you don't.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. You had to be proficient at this, and so each successive test item that we had to pass essentially. I'm going to show you the before picture of this nib. There it is.
And it just hurts.
It's a little difficult to see. The right tine in this one actually crossed over underneath the left tine. And that was just really, really something else. That one took an hour and a half to straighten. But when I was done, it rolled beautifully. It was really a really nice writing pen. First day, we also discussed, we did maybe three different types of bends, but we talked about smoothing and then the whole binderization process, which is something that you really have to be approved to actually use the term. So right now there's only one person that is approved to actually use the term binderize.
She's earned it.
Linda Kennedy, you know, does a great job, and she's studied with Richard for I don't know how many years now, a couple of years.
Well, she basically shadowed him for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if she actually took the 3-day class. I believe she spent a week, but she has been there several times one-on-one. So, you know, the only person at this moment who can claim to be able to do that is Linda, and rightly so.
So that was the first day we did. We did all those bends and comp. You know, some of them were fairly straightforward, and actually, some of the. It's interesting because some of the techniques used appear so simple. They're just the answer is just, it's mind blowing, but once you start getting into it, like I say, everything is like about a thousandth of an inch, and if you go too far or you apply too much pressure, then you've created another problem that now you have to fix. So that was fun. Day two starts into right away with grinding. And
well, don't give away too many secrets.
Well, no. But the first thing he does is he gives you a nib and says, there, grind it into an extra fine. Okay. You know, he gave instruction, and before you knew it, we were grinding down to
a nib grinder.
We were grinding nibs. It was crazy. I couldn't believe. You know, I thought there's got to be more to it before we start actually getting into grinding nibs. But we just went right off the deep end and we started doing it. And when we got the extra fine done, then he said, "Okay, here's another nib. Now we're going to make this an extra extra fine." I think mine came out at 0.31 millimeters. But that was outside to outside tipping. So the line width was much, much thinner than that.
We'll have to get in touch with Thomas and see what his preferred.
I forget what it is. It's got to be. It's
pretty small. We'll check. We'll see if you can do a Thomas grind.
We'll see.
Yeah.
And then we ended the day out starting to learn what is probably the one of the most common grinds out there today, and that's the architect nib. I tell you, that's a very, very, that was the most complicated grind for the weekend. But every particular grind built on the previous grind. So there was always something so that by the time we got to the last one of the weekend, we had kind of the techniques down. We're going to do this that you did on this one and this technique that you did on the third one. And, by the time we got to the architect's grind, we all looked at each other and it was like 4:30 and we said, you know what? There's no way. None of us can do this. He showed us the steps and we said, you know what? We're going to sit here and we're going to talk about nibs, but we were all completely fried. We started that out on Friday morning with the architect's grind. And the architect's grind, for those that aren't familiar, is the opposite of a stub. So your downstrokes are thin and your horizontal strokes are thick, also called Hebrew or Arabic, most commonly known by the architect grind because of a particular font that utilizes that kind of combination. So what else? We did that, followed that up with stub. So we went the other way. Crisp italic and cursive italic. And I think, did I miss anything? I think that's it. So, I mean, which is a lot because, you could spend 45 minutes to an hour and a half on each particular nib and getting it right. And, some of these nibs had, upwards of, if you count them all, upwards of 20 steps, 20 or more steps to complete. So,
but you survived.
I survived. I have all my samples. Some of them turned out very, very nice. And as a matter of fact, I mean, we had to pass really. And had we not, essentially, had we done these nibs that we did to the level that we did them without Richard's help, we would qualify to be able to use that term. We would to use binderized term. But so that what happens now is this goes further. And we continue our practice, and then we send Richard nibs. And as he approves them over time, then we get to claim the title. So, but it was fun, a lot of fun going in and learning. And David and Janet were awesome. I couldn't ask for a better pair of folks.
Yep. Yeah. Every day, it sounded like you were challenged, but you had fun and you were learning and you loved that. So it was a great experience.
Yeah, it was fun. Go ahead.
And you were gone, and while Brian was gone, I moved things around. I decorated the office. Eric and I established a couple new policies and procedures. I ordered furniture and a computer for our marketing director who starts tomorrow. I was not sitting around while Brian was gone. In fact, he came back and there's all sorts of stuff on the wall, things I've got planned. So when we went to the office so I could show him some of what we had done Sunday afternoon, I'm going to go with you freaked a little. Like, holy crap, what did you do?
My position now is janitor. I go in a couple days a week. I vacuum, I clean the floors, and I take out the garbage. And then on Tuesday nights, I participate in the podcast. You guys, it was probably a perfect opportunity to not have me there to discuss certain things and to not have my feedback. So,
But we had a good time, but we all missed you. And Dave, Chris, and Steph down in the store. It was fun because you had things arrive like your new shoes. And so we were torturing Brian all week with, this arrived and this happened. And it was good.
Well, our good friend Ulysses, Yuli, as we call him, who's a pen guy, a big serious pen guy. He works for a men's clothier, and he's trying to get me into these shoes. So I bought these shoes, and then Lisa sends me these pictures of
wearing
my shoes. So I just kind of,
I had pantyhose on. It wasn't like I was barefoot and sweaty.
The shoes.
But pens came in, ink came in, and Eric and I are moving things around, and I'm sending Brian pictures that look good, but you can't quite figure out where it is. It was fun. There's a lot of fun torturing them.
Well, it was good. I am super glad to be back. I drove out 2,444 miles and got to see a lot of cool stuff. And as it turned out, there was on my last day, I stayed in Toledo, Ohio on Saturday night, and I went to get dinner, which was in the same parking lot as a hotel. And as I'm leaving the restaurant, I look out and there's an antique store right there. And I look on my phone, I look it up, and sure enough, they're open until 8 o'clock. And I had a half an hour, I had like 31 minutes. And so I rushed over there. And this is the fastest I've ever gone through an antique store in my life.
And we've gone through some pretty quickly.
This was 110,000 square feet.
But you didn't get through all of them.
There was a small section in the back that I did not get through.
I mean, you had to be hustling. Did you?
I was. Well, you know, see, the trick is you go, and pens are usually in cases. So if you go through a booth that does no glass cases, you just keep going.
You did have your Fitbit on, right?
Well,
no,
I did not have my Fitbit on. I got totally screwed on the challenge, but no, there. If anybody's in Maumee, Ohio, the Maumee Antique Mall, there is a very nice. I did not buy it. A very nice Conklin. Looks like a Conklin Endura. Maybe junior sized, beautiful lapis. Now, I did not open it up and look at the nib or anything, but it might be worth checking out. I want to say it was maybe 78, but it was $95 plus 20% off. So definitely something worth checking out if you can find it. I want to say if you go in, it was to the right somewhere. But otherwise, there wasn't really anything, no pens there. It was crazy. It was void of pens.
Well, somebody had been there before you.
Some guy.
All right.
Do you want to do some Q&A this week? We've got a couple of good ones.
I think so. We've got a couple of good ones.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right.
Or do you want me to read it and you answer
it? You read it and I'll answer it.
We'll all do right. So John sent us a message. Why does soaking an ebonite pen in water damage the pen, but an ebonite feed is not damaged by ink? Yeah, why is that? It's the same ebonite, right?
Well, first of all, actually, I read the question wrong when I wrote the answer, but ebonite feeds in sections, for that matter, because sections can be made of hard rubber, are typically not damaged because they don't usually suffer the same fate of being exposed to ultraviolet light as do hard rubber caps or barrels. Since they're covered most of the time, they don't have a chance to degrade like the barrels and caps do. So when you place it in water or in ink, they're just not going to discolor. They're the cap and the barrel will. If you go too far up, or if you're cleaning, and get it, you know, past the section, past the threads, you'll often see a hard rubber pen discolor immediately. Because it's been exposed, but the section and feed, not so much. They've almost always had the cap on, hopefully. And they've not just not been exposed. So,
okay.
That's the reason for
good
that.
Good answer.
Speaking of ultrasonics, Beth asks, is it safe to clean plated nibs, in an ultrasonic?
And the answer is absolutely. Now, be a little careful if there is any evidence of any of the plating coming loose. It can agitate itself the little flakes could agitate themselves off and make it worse, but usually there's not a problem. We put rhodium plated gold nibs in the ultrasonic all the time. A couple of my vanishing point nibs and sailor nibs and other things.
Almost every sailor's got some kind of rhodium plating on it. Almost every.
Yeah. And they're fine. So as long as nothing is already coming off, it's sort of like paint on the house. You know, if you brush up against paint that's flaking off, it's going to flake off. But totally fine.
Yeah, just a question in chat kind of related to that. Usually asking if just water in the ultrasonic. Yes, that's what I try first. Yeah, I don't ever... I will on occasion put something else in the water, but I try to use the water, you know, 99% of the time. That's all you need. You need water and you need time. The only thing chemicals will do is will shorten that time frame up a little bit, unless it's something that's very, very stubborn and you need to get it open right away. Then you can put, you can use ammonia, usually a 1-10 kind of ratio. Maybe some dish soap is... sometimes can help, but water is really all you need. That's all we ever really use in the store.
Yeah. So. All right. And the third question, Martin had sent us an email. What material is the body of an Esterbrook J made from?
This is a very good question. Very good question. The easy answer to this is plastic. But that doesn't answer the question because I know that's not what you want to hear. It's not celluloid. And I, you know, we've been Esterbrook collectors for forever, but we're not, you know, we're not chemists. We don't know. I can't tell you certain things we can answer, but this one, I had to dig a little deeper. And according to David Nishimura, who's a pretty sharp cookie. He believes that the material is a cellulose acetate, not celluloid, but cellulose acetate. It's very durable. You almost never see lever box spread unless you got water in the pen and you got the lever ring wet and it starts to expand. You almost never see it like you see some other models. Now, earlier Esterbrooks $1.50 pens, those were made out of celluloid, but for the most part, the rest of them, some form of cellulose acetate, some kind of other plastic. So,
cool.
And they made some out of hard rubber, but not J's. So, hit the gamut there.
All right. Moving along.
That's a quick Q&A this week. We got some new stuff in the store while I was gone.
Yeah, we had a good time while you were gone.
I should go away more often, apparently.
Well, you know.
Next time I'll actually take a vacation instead of...
no way, man. Not without me. All week.
Platinum 3776 Century Kawaguchi is now in. If you're on the mailer, you saw it. It's a cool pen. What do you think of that?
I like it. It's a dark blue, but I think it's really pretty.
Yeah, it's darker than it looked in the pictures. I was thinking it was more similar to the chartreuse blue, but I guess that would be no fun if it was the same color, right? So it's got a kind of a chased ripple kind of pattern on the barrel and the cap, and rhodium trim, rhodium plated 14 karat nib, and then it has the nut inside the top of the cap is shaped to look like Mount Fuji.
It's kind of cool.
If that's not, you know, that's pretty awesome. So this is the last of the five of the fifth in the Lake series. So if you're collecting that series, this is a heck of a cool looking pen. So that came in this week. And what came in, was it yesterday? Had something come in yesterday?
Something like that.
No, something came in yesterday. That was my lead-in for you to go.
Oh, okay. Well, you're kind of fading off. You're really soft today. So I'm going to speak up. I can't hear you. The Mont Blanc Ultra Black ink and the Ultra Black cartridges came in. We have been waiting on this for quite a while. And as with most of the Mont Blanc inks, it's coming in and going right out pretty quickly. If you're interested, grab a bottle before they're gone. I'm not sure we're going to have enough for DC at this rate. But it's cool. Typical Mont Blanc gorgeous ink, beautiful bottle. They do a really nice job.
Hoping Chris to do something with it soon. That would be nice.
With the ink? Yeah. Well, I think we set aside a bottle for him.
Okay. So. And I guess it does. We should mention, speaking of Mont Blanc ink, we got another Mont Blanc ink in last week, and it was out before I even got back.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, people get upset when we run out of ink. But the Mont Blanc Shakespeare Velvet Red came in, and it was gone within an hour. I think it was an hour. We did not get all of our order. We got
we didn't a good, even get a third.
Yeah, we did not. But when those kinds of things come in, that's why you sign up for the back in stock notice. And if it comes in and then you can't get to your computer soon enough and it's gone, sign up again, because the next time it comes in, you'll get notified again. But we have no control over how many we get sent. For example, tomorrow, the new J. Herbin 1670 ink is going to come in. We are not getting everything that we ordered, and it will be gone tomorrow.
I think we are getting two more bottles in than the number of back of stock notifications that we have. Mm. But that's assuming everybody just takes one, and that never happens.
No, people. No. So
I think we're limiting that to just a couple bottles of each, just to make sure everybody gets as many people that want it can get it. But so I guess we'll go back to Shakespeare for a minute. We've got more on order, but we just never know. Sometimes Mont Blanc will ship us, like they shipped us, what, four bottles?
Four.
You know, so I can't, you know, when that happens, we actually hold it, because it's not fair to put it up and to notify all the people for four bottles. It's not fair. So we if it's that small, we just hold it and we wait till the next shipment comes in. So.
We do have one more bottle of Shakespeare Velvet Red, so if you're interested, call the store tomorrow.
Yep, we're open at 9:30 Central Time.
But we only have one.
There's one. And this week we talked about some new stuff that's coming in. It's not in, but it's on the horizon.
Now these things will be sometime in September, I was told.
Okay, then the next two items.
The Lamy 2000, the 50th anniversary edition.
Okay.
And, you know, I have to say, I agree with most people. I kind of thought they'd do something a little different.
Yeah.
It's just another Lamy 2000 in a different color. Kind of cool, but.
It's similar to the stainless steel. It's a metal,
yes.
But it's a dark, and it's got a little special amber. Black amber, yeah.
I mean, it looks nice, and if you're a diehard Lamy 2000 fan, it's kind of a cool pen.
Comes with the bottle.
It is a little bit pricier.
Yeah, it's got a beautiful presentation box. You know, I think it's going to be the case. It's going to look cooler when we get it in person. It seems that most of the manufacturers don't take really good realistic pictures of some of their product, so you can't tell. So
I can barely hear you.
You can barely hear me?
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
The Lamy Lux. Go ahead.
Yeah, Lamy Lux is coming in and comes
Lamy in. Lamy Lux is coming in. These look a lot like the Lamy All-Star. These are they come in gold plating, palladium. It's colored anodized aluminum, gold, a palladium color, rose gold. I think I have to have one, and ruthenium. And the clips match, and they come in a really, really cool case. similar to a pen that I got. Where did I get that one? In Chicago? Came in a really cool oval shape case.
Yeah, similar. These are metal, though. There's going to be aluminum.
Right, correct. They look really cool, and we've got those on order as well. I'm excited to see those. Those are going to be pretty.
So, last but not least, the Pelican M205 aquamarine.
That looks really pretty.
It looks nice. I like that. You know, I have not had an M200 for years. Maybe this is my chance to get one. It's a nice looking pen. It's matching the color of the year, the aquamarine.
Which is kind of a teal color.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm into teal these days. So,
see that.
Yeah. We'll see what that looks like when it comes in, but I think it's going to be a sharp looking pen.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's kind of what's going on in the store, on the blog. We've got this last week. If you missed the midweek mojo, was Get the Scoop. So that's a cute little ice cream related post.
I'm surprised Eric didn't want to go to Dairy Queen after that,
or have it in the picture maybe. Our Think Thursday was Mont Blanc Blue Hour, and that's really nice work by Chris there. And Where to Focus this last week was the Namiki Chinese Phoenix.
Yes, pretty.
Very, very pretty pen. So check those out on the blog. So do we, we've got some shout outs this week, anything else you want to say before we move on to that?
No, that's it.
Okay.
I want to give a shout out to my mom and my stepdad, Bob, and my sister, Terry, for housing Brian overnight on Friday night. He left Richard and Barbara's house Friday night, drove 3.5 hours to my parents' house, and spent the night. They kept him up late. And not only, they're actually in big trouble, my family. Not only did they show him all of my old childhood pictures, all my school pictures from, you know, first, second, third, fourth, eighth senior picture, they sent him home with a box. Yep. So I think they're in trouble.
No, it was awesome. It was good to see him. I haven't seen Bob in a couple of years, and they were just excited, I think.
And you got to meet my sister.
Got to meet your sister, and she was cool, and the dog. But we talked about pens until about. I rolled in about 9-ish, and we talked about pens for about 2 hours. And your mom is all proud. She's bringing out her Retro 51 fountain pen and her Metro. And we were talking about cartridges. And so it was kind of fun. So, in fact, I think your mom wants to get an Anderson Pens nib to put in her her Retro. She wants a final
one. Probably, yep.
Yeah. So I showed her how to take the pen apart, actually.
Oh, my God.
Anything else, any other shout outs we want to pass on this week?
No.
Okay, so that'll wrap it up for this week.
Check us out on social media as Anderson Pens. And keep in mind, we are doing some fun weekly Instagram-only contests, sending out some cool things every week. And we have two cool giveaways planned. One is a back-to-school giveaway that we will announce in the next week or so. And the other is going to be for our 200th podcast, which is next week.
Okay. The blog is blog.andersonpens.com.
And the website is AndersonPens.com.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast this week. We will see you next week. Have a good night, everyone.